From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Joshua, bringing the next portion of a message called Crossing the Jordan, a picture of baptism into Christ's death. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. We are here taught the great lesson that to get, we must give, that to accumulate, we must scatter, that to make ourselves happy, we must make others happy. And that in order to become spiritually vigorous, we must seek the spiritual good of others. In watering others, we are ourselves watered. How? Our efforts to be useful bring out our powers for usefulness. We have latent talents and dormant faculties, which are brought to light by exercise. Our strength for labor is hidden even from ourselves, until we venture forth to fight the Lord's battles or to climb the mountains of difficulty. We do not know what tender sympathies we possess until we try to dry the widow's tears and soothe the orphan's grief. We often find in attempting to teach others that we gain instruction for ourselves. Oh, what gracious lessons some of us have learned at sick beds! We went to teach the Scriptures. We came away blushing that we knew so little of them. In our converse with poor saints, we are taught the way of God more perfectly for ourselves and get a deeper insight into divine truth, so that watering others makes us humble. We discover how much grace there is where we had not looked for it, and how much the poor saint may outstrip us in knowledge. Our own comfort is also increased by our working for others. We endeavor to cheer them, and the consolation gladdens our own heart. Like the two men in the snow, one chafed the other's limbs to keep him from dying, and in so doing kept his own blood in circulation and saved his own life. The poor widow of Zarephath gave from her scanty store a supply for the prophet's wants, and from that day she never again knew what want was. Give then, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and running over.
Oh, Jesus, I have come again.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer free of charge copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has been paying particular attention to the Scripture's emphasis upon the Ark of God in the midst of the river as the people passed over. The burden of the message is to show exactly what the Bible means by being baptized into Christ's death. We've noted that the people's deliverance depended solely upon the Ark being carried into the waters, a symbol of deliverance from the wrath of God through the atoning death of Christ. The people themselves had no power to hold back the waters. That depended completely upon the intervention of God's power. In the same way, our salvation depends in its entirety upon Christ's finished work on the cross. Furthermore, in the new birth, we become one with Christ, so that we receive the value of His work as if it were our own. This is the glorious truth of imputation. Christ suffered in the sinner's place, and His obedience is imputed to the repentant sinner. Through this union with Christ, the believer is treated by God just as God treats His own Son. The same God who raised Christ from the dead gives life to repentant sinners. Also, our union with Christ brings us into a new kingdom, the kingdom of righteousness. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called Crossing Jordan, a picture of baptism into Christ's death.
There's not one of us that has to lament his moral imperfection. So how can we be legally perfect? We're legally perfect because Christ is our righteousness. Now let that sink in. He is our righteousness. He is perfect, sinless, absolutely acceptable to God. He has fulfilled every precept of God's law. He has paid every penalty of God's law. He has satisfied God's law. He has silenced the thunders of Mount Sinai. He has quenched the fiery lightning that darted forth from that mount. He has satisfied God so that even Mount Sinai now is a co-witness with Mount Calvary that we are acceptable to God in Christ. You see, to be justified in Jesus Christ is to be accepted as legally perfect. The law of God has no more strictures to pass upon us. The law of God has no more fire to vent upon us. The law of God has no more voice to accuse us, because Jesus had it all. It means not only that God treats us as legally perfect, but He gives us life. The children of Israel were brought into Canaan. God raised Christ from the dead. God raises us from the dead in Him. He gives us life. When He raised Him from the dead, He received Him into glory, where He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Even so He brings us near to Himself. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. We are made nigh by the blood of His cross. Ephesians 2, verse 6. He has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He receives us into glory. What does it mean to be baptized into Christ's death? It means to be treated as He is treated. Can God ever abandon Jesus Christ? Then and only then can He abandon any member of the body of Christ. Can God ever condemn Jesus Christ to the outer darkness of hell? Then and only then can He condemn any believer in Jesus Christ to the outer darkness of hell. These are impossibilities. As God treats Christ, so He treats all who belong to Christ, for they are baptized into His death. And that baptism means a fourth thing. It means to die to sin in Christ. To die to sin in Christ. Now that is an expression that has caused a lot of debate. Romans chapter 6 and verse 2 is a text of Scripture that has caused, well, I would suppose, volumes and volumes to be written upon it, and there has not been in most of them a great deal of light. It's an answer to the question, what shall we then say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2 of Romans 6 says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Dead to sin. What does that mean? Now there are some people who say it means sinless perfection. The Phineites believed that. Perfectionism. Of course they had to redraw the English dictionary. Rewrite the meaning of perfection. They had to rewrite what the Bible would mean by perfection. But they were perfectionists. John Wesley was a species of perfectionist. Though I think had to come to see the folly of some of his beliefs in that score. perfectionism. We're dead to sin. Of course, there's not a person with an ounce of brains between his ears or an ounce of honesty in his heart that honestly believes that. Not one of us can go into the presence of God and search our heart and say, here I am, and I'm absolutely, personally, morally perfect. I leave nothing for God to desire. Glorification will make no improvement in me, except in the body, for I'm absolutely perfect. Not one of us can do that. So we know that's not true. What's more, we know Paul didn't mean that. Because in the very next chapter, he goes on to describe his own battle with sin. And he described himself in that battle, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" So he didn't mean perfectionism. Then there are some, and this is, I suppose, the most frequent usage of the passage, and they say it means we ought to be dead to sin. We ought to be dead to sin. And they use this as a great exhortation to God's people. And they talk about death and, oh, what awful confusion it causes. I remember as a young man feeling much of that confusion, hearing some preachers preach upon our duty to be dead to sin. And say, if you're really saved, you should be dead. Now, dead men don't feel, and you've often, maybe yourselves, heard what I heard. You go to a corpse, you poke the corpse, what does it feel? Nothing. You put fire to the corpse, what does it feel? Nothing. Now, you should be a corpse to sin. Preachers, of course, felt good about preaching that, but listening to it, I have that unhappy knack. When I listen to somebody, I actually think of what they're saying and think of what it really means. If preachers would keep that in mind, it might moderate and modify what they say at times. And I thought, well, if I'm supposed to be a corpse, and if this is the mark of really being a Christian, then temptation wouldn't make me feel anything. I couldn't feel it because it'd be dead. But I do feel. What's more, I have never yet met the man who doesn't. But where do we read we ought? In Romans 6 and 2, there's no ought. It's a statement of historic fact. Some say it means only our justification. We're dead to sin as to its guilt. Now that's a great truth, but I don't think it's the whole truth here. Let me point out to you what it means. How shall we, and it should read, who died to sin, pointing back to an incident, to an event, to a point in history, to a time when something, namely our death, was accomplished. Once and for all. When was that? When Jesus died. We died to sin. Joshua 3 gives us help in what it means. When the children of Israel crossed Jordan in union with the ark, what did they do? They left the old territory behind them and they entered into a new territory. When we are baptized into Christ, we leave behind us the old realm of sin and we enter into a new realm in Jesus Christ. This is made very clear in the writings of the apostles. If you go back to the end of Romans chapter 5, moreover, verse 20, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, watch this carefully. Sin reigned. We all know about that, don't we? What happened when God brought us into Christ? Grace reigned. He brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Colossians 1 verse 13. What does it mean to die unto sin? It means to be brought from out of the kingdom of sin. We are no longer the subjects of sin. Doesn't say that sin suddenly passes out of existence, as Romans 7 goes on to prove. But it does say that we have a new king. We're in a new realm. For example, the children of Israel, when they came out of the wilderness and they went into Canaan, they carried much of the conflict and the failure of the wilderness with them, but they weren't in the wilderness anymore. They were in Canaan. So it is with the people of God. We're not yet glorified. We carry much of the wilderness conflict and failure still with us. But we're not in the wilderness. We're in Canaan. Sin is no longer now our master. It is a usurper. We have a king who reigns in grace, who has justified us. We are no longer under the dominion of our sin. We have a full deliverance in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30. He has made unto us wisdom, and both righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There are the four great areas where we have deliverance. In the mind. In the mind. Can I say to you this morning that Satan has no right to the minds of the people of God? Sin has no right to the minds of the people of God. Christ is their wisdom. You can think right, because Christ is your wisdom. He's still given us a deliverance from guilt. He's our righteousness. He's given us a deliverance from pollution, for He's our holiness and our sanctification. And He's given us a deliverance from the power of sin, for He is our redemption. We're no longer slaves, we're set free. This is our standing in Christ. Now, as Israel didn't at once take full possession of all their covenanted possessions, so our experience is yet catching up with our standing. But thank God it is in the process of doing so. Paul says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We baptized into His death. This is what it is.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.